Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I'm a married man, but living single. She doesn't fulfill me.
How do you change your mindset to view it differently?
But what if I practice abstinence and the sex sucks? So it's two totally,
different levels.
This brother here is prolific and has been putting in work for the kingdom for a while. One of the dopest churches in Houston. We in here rocking with Pastor Jerry Flowers. Welcome to Harley Mission.
The safe sin for like a Christian is to watch porn and masturbate.
Is it okay to be engaged in premarital sex and still tell people, hey, look, but you shouldn't do it?
The sex is usually the conversation of singles. You are using people as treatment.
Are you really righteous?
Marriage is going to be hard for you. If you could know the...
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, in here with another episode, my co-host, Ryan Catchings.
It's going to be a good one today, man. So, in general this week, it's been a lot of things on my mind, okay? Yeah. A lot of things on my mind, and I've been feeling like I need to decompress, but not decompress and share so much, but decompress and get some wisdom. I'm thinking that's what I need. I haven't had my dose this week. Yeah. That wisdom I need. So I'm glad we got you.
So Ryan, I did this one for you.
You did.
Matter of fact,
you really did.
I did this one for y'all because right now we are sitting, and I lie to you not, this is the most requested pastor on our platform right
Wow,
now.
Wow, really?
Y'all have been asking me. Check the comments.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Check the Instagram. Check the YouTube.
Praise God.
And listen, this is not a coincidence. This brother here is prolific. And has been putting in work for the kingdom for a while. One of the dopest churches in Houston. We in here rocking with Pastor Jerry Flowers. Welcome to Harley Initiated.
Thank you for having me. That was an intro there, bro.
Listen, Tyshawn got the horn. He know how to, you know, make the guests feel loved and appreciated.
No. You are loved and appreciated, man. You are loved and appreciated.
For sure.
And I'm glad that you agreed to come out here in this very short time that you're in Atlanta.
Yeah,
right.
The time spent studying your content to prepare for you got me even more excited because it's certain messages as we talked about prior. I like my pastors that could drop us some good wisdom that I can apply in my life, especially as a man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I could look to you and get messages as a man in my life that I can apply. Yeah. And today I want to go deep.
Today
because our people have been sending us emails and we've been learning a lot more about them as we build a safer, more vulnerable space.
Yeah.
And they dealing with some issues that I think you might have an answer and resolution to.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. Both the ladies and the men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ladies and the men.
Yeah.
But before we actually get popping, can we go ahead and show some love to our episode sponsor?
Yeah, guys, big shout out to Harley and Love Dating Cards. Guys, Tyshawn and I personally created all 100 prompts for these dating cards. So you want to make sure that you, in your process of choosing the right one, this has to be at least step 2 or 3. You cannot miss this. So, guys, go ahead and check out the link in the description. Harley and Love Dating Cards, comments in the chat, in the description.
Boom! Yeah. There you have it, guys. I wanted to, you know, actually start here because y'all, we had a podcast before the podcast as we usually do.
Yeah, facts.
And I want to go back to that because what I spoke to you about is the evolution of our show.
Yeah.
And the evolution of our show has been not only me and Ryan having a clearer picture of our own identities and our own journeys, but also learning and understanding the journeys of our audience. And you know, it started in one place from us wanting to be men's empowerment, help the brothers. Then we started really seeing our relationships were struggling. So now we really started focusing on really helping us with our relationships. But as the guests, the experts, the therapists, the pastors came on, we really started identifying that the relationships wasn't the issue. It was all the things under the relationships.
Facts.
Our spiritual life. Our childhood. Our family. Really the relationship with ourselves. All of those things are the real underbellies of what we seeing is what we calling trying to find a man. We calling it trying to find a man, you know, having too much sex and all these other things, but that wasn't the real problem. It was just a symptom. What's your experience in us as a culture thinking we know the problem, yet not necessarily doing the proper root cause analysis? Is that is that one of the common issues you see that we having?
So kind of like we were talking before, it's the symptoms, bro. Most people don't want you to treat the cause. I found my personality in the symptoms. My preferences are in the symptoms. And to actually deal with the cause requires surgery, requires cutting, requires a breakup. And like there was this time I was in college with this young lady, and she kept having these headaches, chronic headaches. I mean, sometimes during class I would see her crying because she's just dealing with these extreme migraines. And she always had this little prescription pill next to her, and she would take it. And she left for like 2 weeks or so. Saw her one night in the library. I was like, girl, where you been at? And she said, Jerry, feel right here. And I put my hand right here. And she said, you feel that? I have a tumor. This whole time I was taking this prescription for a tumor, I was treating the symptoms of a tumor. And man, that thing like rocked my life, because I think that's what a lot of people do. Your bae, that's just you're trying to medicate yourself.
Bae is medication.
You are using people as treatment. Using people. That's why a lot of times you feel so used, because you are literally my treatment. But the real issue is there's a tumor there. And that could be a childhood tumor. That could be a molestation tumor. I mean, you can go as deep, you know, as things that happen with you, your step parents. I mean, you can go really deep. And your family, learning that, you know, family secrets don't keep you safe. They keep you sick. So like just really discovering, man, how did this tumor start? And what is making it grow? And could all of my relational choices, whatever, you know, my activity may be, could this be just me taking Advil? That's what this is. My dating life is Advil.
Incredible. I mean, you got me really thinking about, because lust in particular, it has to be, the biggest detriment to me personally, my decision making.
Yeah.
And I can imagine it affects most people in the same way.
Yeah.
You find something that, you know, a woman or, you know, somebody that you're interested in, you feel all these levels of emotion and attraction. And it just seems like, you know, you make all these excuses to really plant that initial seed, whether you even say, sometimes it's simple as saying hello. You open up the door. You open up the door to all sorts of foolishness. But when you get in that mold, right, and you, or at least come to the level of understanding that that's where you at, and that's how strong lust is, how do you change your mindset to view it differently?
So, all right, we're going to go a little deeper here, right? This is something I told brothers in a small group. I said, what if it's not all of these women are after you? What if it's the enemy offering you multiple wombs to get your seed in the wrong womb to continue a bloodline cycle?
What if it's
just not that he's so fine? No, I need your womb. Because how does dysfunction stay in the bloodline? It goes through womb after womb after womb after womb. So I think if you begin to think deeper, like it's not just like, man, I got all these women. Like, how do I battle this? I got all that. What if God is requiring for me to be pure to protect my bloodline? And are you passing on the same pain that your father left you? And you're just repeating the cycle. So that's why I said it all depends on how deep you want to go. But my thing that helped me really in college is like, these are multiple wounds that I don't want to carry out the flower's last name.
I think that's the that's a complete shift in mindset, right? Because typically, when you know, and this was, I mean, it's so crazy because I'm working on myself. Okay, now like I said, lust is an issue
for sure.
So I've made some mistakes
for sure,
but when I was most active, I saw myself as the warrior. I saw myself as the person on the offense. I never seen myself as somebody who needed to protect myself from these different things. If anybody thought they was the highest on the food chain when it comes to pursuing women with the goal of initiating a sexual encounter, it's like your mindset is you are the dominant person in the situation. So when I consider the fact that I'm actually, it's somebody else that's dominating my thoughts and actions and moving me in the wrong direction, it just really puts, I mean,
think of that shift, bro. Just think if the shift was, I'm protecting my seed. Not just I'm not having sex. I'm protecting my seed.
Right.
For my bloodline. It's totally different. It shifts the whole battle when it comes to lust, because I mean, you have women that give it to you all the time.
Right.
But when you say, I want to be able to foster a bloodline.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is the type of ingredients that I desire in a woman. That starts to make you think a little different on who you're interested in and who you pursue. And that's really what kept me. Honestly, two things kept me. First was I was a student pastor, and I just didn't want to go tell these young dudes, hey, y'all, practice purity. And I know I wasn't doing it. It's amazing sometimes, like, you will get saved in ministry. Like, I didn't love Jesus that much yet. I just didn't want them, like, I didn't want to let them down, you know? So that was like a huge accountability for me. And then just something my father said, could you marry her? No, I couldn't marry her. And that just stuck with me. As old school as it sounds, he was just, could you marry her?
Mm. Is it okay to do that? Is it okay to, I don't want to say actively have sex. Well, yes. Is it okay to be engaged in premarital sex and still tell people, hey, look, but you shouldn't do it?
No, like, being a man of faith, I stand on flee all sexual morality. People have fallen short, but that's the standard. And so that's what we're aiming for. So if the bull's eye is flee all sexual immorality, you know where to aim. If you don't have a bull's eye, you live aimless. Mm. So every female is getting hit with your lust because there's no target. Mm. Does that make sense? So like my target is purity. So anytime I converse with a young lady, if that's not her target as well, that's irrefutable evidence distraction. So it's the commonality of our targets that make it easier for us to exercise purity. But if you don't have a target and she don't have a target, your relationship's going to be aimless the whole time.
So when it comes to lust, though, especially as me, like, wanting to transition into marriage, I hear a lot of people say that you need to have your lust, you know, already under control prior.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I talk to married men, and they like, bro, this lust thing never goes away.
Correct.
Like, lust is a constant battle.
Yeah.
So what really is the prerequisite to have under control before I say I'm ready for the discipline of marriage at that point?
It's such a great question, bro. So here's the thing. There must be a time in your unmarried single state where you practice self-control and detox. If you don't, when you get married, you can end up comparing your wife to a porn star. That makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
She doesn't fulfill me. And it's gotten so bad to, excuse me, it's gotten so bad to back home, we have husbands that can't get erected. Can't get erected. Like, man, I love my wife. Your body has been classically trained to multiple. So now when it has one for the rest of your life, your physical body won't even respond. But look, it's not a software issue. It's a hardware issue. I have wired my brain to conquer. I have wired my brain to multiple. So if I don't embrace a season of detox, what are you going to do when your wife gets pregnant and you can't have sex for a while? What are you going to do after she has your child and you got to wait a few months? Or like when Tanisha was pregnant with our child and she had placenta previa and we couldn't do anything until Josiah was born. And even after he was born, we still couldn't do anything. I have to have the discipline of self-control. And this is why, if you research, a lot of time men step out during that time, because there was never a time where you denied and crucified your flesh. Mm. Never. And this is kind of what we're talking about before, Ryan.
Right.
I always, like, I'm a big believer in God's original agenda. I know it's not popular. I know it won't be trending. But what was God's original agenda? And let's try to get as close to that as possible. We're going to miss. We're going to fall short because we're human. But that's the goal. His original agenda was for sex to be a discovery, not an exhibit. Adam, Eve, come together, discover what you like. Discover your spot. Figure out he likes that. Figure out she likes that. So then when culture tells us no, sex is designed to be an exhibit, not a discovery, you come into marriage already, I like this, I know what I like, I want it like this, I want it like this. What if they don't? They're not a good lover. Or is it you've already had the exhibit experience? Does this make sense?
That does.
So that time of however long you need, for me it was like 3 years before I married my wife. It was 3 years of just training my body. When she walks by, don't look. I couldn't look at these. Even Herbal Essence commercials, that would bother me.
Wow.
Because because like the safe sin for like a Christian was to watch porn and masturbate. So it's like, I'm not going to go do it, but I'm going to watch this, not knowing that was really polluting my mind. So
the
I had to.
Wait. The safe sin.
Safe sin. You're not going to get nobody pregnant. You're not going to get an STD. You're not going to catch nothing, you know. So it's, let me watch porn and masturbate.
You can sit in private.
Okay. You can sit in private. Got nobody knows what you're doing, right?
Wow.
But that messes your mind up. When you find yourself on page 7, page 8, and you're going through all the genres that you like, I like BBW, I like this, and you're still not getting satisfied, in marriage that will be revealed. It will unearth that you've trained your mind to like this. Mm. You've trained your mind to desire this. And you can have a good, godly, kingdom woman, but you can't. I'm irritated on the inside, indirectly at her. But really, it's because I've never had a time in my life where I practiced self-control. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking from experience and also a small group of men. It is a battle for the same woman for the rest of your life if you never had a time where you got purged. Because there's going to be times where she can't. What you going to do then?
You know, I think women, they are also deeply in conditioned culture too. Because how many women have asked you, tell me how you like it? think about that question. It's like,
tell me how you like it.
Yeah.
She's accustomed to
I want to do what you've already been trained to like.
Right.
Mm. And I want to be like everything. It's not,
it's an exhibit,
let's
like
figure
said,
this out.
Not
it's not, let's figure out what we like.
Right.
It's tell me about what have all your past sexual experience you like and tell me so I can be like those women.
And it's a condition. And I mean, I don't like you just kind of condition that you just assume this woman has had past sexual partners, vice versa. Mm-hmm. And man, it's. The purity is, I mean, I know guys want to have a woman that, you know, they less body count, right?
Isn't that ironic?
Right.
Mine could be high when yours be low.
Right.
It's, I mean, first of all, it's 100% hypocritical, but it's a fact it exists. It's a fact that it exists.
Yeah.
And Yeah. Well, so go ahead. I'm gonna let you. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I actually lost my train of thought on the question because it's just a lot right now we're talking about, because this is a real issue.
Absolutely,
it's a real issue. Let me ask you this then. So I know you talked about men's experience with lust. Mm-hmm. When the ladies come to you that you counsel, I know you mm-hmm. mentioned before the show mm-hmm. that you counsel all of the ladies with your wife.
Right.
When they come to you and the topical issue is lust, mm-hmm. how are they presenting the issue to you?
So most of the time, like in my context, it's a rose or a bullet. Like, is that wrong? And how do I still satisfy myself? And then we use example from other couples where she said, hey, I used my rose, but now in marriage, I have to detox my mind, and my husband's not a machine. He can never go to level 7. Never, never. And so now he feels inadequate because a machine makes me feel better than him. You know, and so then my wife would be like, do you want your husband to feel inadequate? That he can never compete with an energized battery? Never, he's not a machine. So it's both. There are men and women that do it, but there's... The conversation also has to shift to where did you ever detox from this?
Yeah.
I like this. She doesn't. So is she a bad wife now? I like this. He doesn't. So is he a bad husband? Mm.
Is this a bigger problem among, like, based on what you see? Mm. Is any one man or woman struggling with lust more, or are we both, you know, taking licks?
When you don't know how to communicate, sex out the window. So, I mean, when we'd have marriage conferences, sex is lower. Because it's a communication issue, it's a respect issue, it's, you know, you're not listening or keeping your word. The sex is usually the conversation of singles. So when we have singles nights, they talk like this, right? Okay. Married people are like, you know, my wife's mouth is the own one. And then she's like, well, you don't ever keep your word. Singles are like, well, what if I get mad? You know, what if I practice abstinence and the sex sucks? So it's two totally, it's two totally different
levels.
Yeah, different levels to it. When y'all don't get along, you're not thinking about having an orgasm. You're not. And so that it's marriage conference and single conferences are totally different. Singles are talking about sex and does God have a godly man for me? Are there any left? Is this all you got? Do they have any in the back? And men are trying to talk about, like, I need to be pure. How do I do it? That's the nucleus of singles conferences when it comes to the lust conversation.
Man, we had two dope ladies on the show yesterday. We had Brenda Palmer, Dr. LaTanya. They both came on, had an incredible episode, and they both were, you know, expressing some, you know, dissatisfactions in just some of the experiences that they may have had in dating. And that's that, you know, they was describing the brother, Brenda was in particular, and, you know, especially women who have reached a certain level spiritually, right? I think they, and we talked about this, they have like different challenges.
Yeah.
Because not only do they need the brother who's, you know, purpose down in life, you know, to handling business, you know, he's financially stable, all just the basic things that make us a decent partner.
Yeah.
But now they also got to be spiritually, have these foundations as well.
Correct.
So now we stacking it. So, you know, they want a brother who's a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They want a brother who's, you know, already probably read in the Bible to some degree or has a relationship with God. And now it gets even more complex when we talk about this caliber of a brother.
And not just that, they're strongly emotionally tied to that idea of a person as well. Mm-hmm. Where if you're not that, it's a it's a big challenge coming your way if you're not that.
And I know a lot of brothers. And I'm going to be honest. A lot of the brothers that I would think of as even good brothers, I don't know if I would describe him as a prayer warrior,
right?
But I think, who knows? I'm not sure what his journey's going to be. I don't know what he can evolve into when that chapter kicks in. But when a woman is considering vetting a man, especially a woman who wants a man to have a strong spiritual foundation, how equipped should she expect him to be on day one for it to be realistic and for it to be like you? They trying to, you know, married Pastor Jerry Flowers.
That's what I was like. Because when you get those kind of details, that's what you think.
Right.
Like, yeah.
See, but they're thinking of Pastor Jerry Flowers 2024. They're not thinking Pastor Jerry Flowers 2012 when I was a student pastor. My wife, she was my wife at the time, but she had two jobs. I was really a church janitor with college students. So it's, I think sometimes there's an unrealistic expectation of him already being versus you helping him become. It's not good that man is alone. I will make him a suitable helper. This means this brother needs help. And I think that oftentimes is like omitted, like help meet. So there are certain places he won't meet without your help. That's the first thing. The second thing is there's a difference between a standard and a preference. Him being 6 feet and making six figures is a preference. Him loving God is a standard. So he's not going to be Jesus Jr.
Right.
But there should be a reverence and a love for God. I think sometimes you just don't want to be hyper like, hey, he has to be a prayer warrior. But he should be a man that prays, but you might pray better. And as y'all get together, it could grow. There's always going to be a deficit in his life because it's not good for him to be alone. It's not good for him. That doesn't mean he's sorry. That doesn't mean he's weak or none of that. That just means with her there, she helps him. So like when I really think about that context, when he says it's not good for him to be alone, what was so bad about Adam being alone? He couldn't multiply. He can't do nothing with a monkey. Can't do nothing with a giraffe. He can't multiply. So when she came along, she helped him multiply. He's already killing it where he is, but he's limited without her multiplication factor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think she should have in mind, like, he's at a level where he loves the Lord, but he's not Jesus Jr. like I think he should be. And as we're building together, do I see that there's integrity? Do I see that there's character? Do I see that there's kindness? Basic. Not does he know all 39 in the Old Testament, all 27 in the... But is there basic kindness, gentleness, self-control, things like that?
Yeah.
Is that settling?
No, those are the fruits of the Spirit. You know, gentleness, self-control, kindness, no.
Yeah, I'm saying, well, if she considers herself, I would say, spiritually advanced versus the gentleman that she's considering.
I wouldn't say that's settling. Because if somebody loves the Lord, but you love him a little more, that doesn't mean they're settling. That just means they're not at the level that you're at. Mm. But that doesn't mean, like... Where I'm at 2024 in my relationship with the Lord can't compare to where I was 2012 with the Lord. Mm. I love the Lord, but I wouldn't read my Bible every day. I would listen to sermons, but I love the Lord. I was meeting with small men. I mean, a small group with young adults and young men. And I love the Lord, but my wife was going to Tanzania and Africa and mission trips and going to prison. She was another level, you know, but I love the Lord.
I get it.
So yeah, it's the most. Now us together, we become that empowered couple.
I'm just very curious, like where these standards of like spiritual advancement, like who creates the standard? What is the standard? We actually got an email today. I think it was today, and I was so offended by this email.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was. We end up going to Tiffany's Montgomery's event covered by God, and we actually had somebody. You know, we had a bunch of people love the email that we sent out. Went to the event. It was a super dope event. Okay. And we had a bunch of emails that were positive. But then we had one that came in that was like, Ryan, you are such a lukewarm Christian. Yeah. Wait. I was highly offended by this message, right?
Wow.
Which that's probably another conversation. But after all of the thoughts, the initial thoughts, you know, I had to get it about. All the initial thoughts went to my head about this person.
Yeah, because Ryan about to email about.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, yeah. Bro, don't email back,
bro. I feel like I really was tried up, but I'm curious about one thing. One, I'm trying to figure out why was I so offended by this? Because we online. We've had people call us all types of things.
Yeah.
I've never been offended.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it was going the most viral for things I should have been offended about, was not offended. This really, really, this one email really, really bothered me. But then it got me thinking. What is a lukewarm Christian, and what is this, like, what level of spiritual advancement do you have to be at for you to be considered universally Christian?
Yeah. So I think the first thing I'll ask you is, are you lukewarm? Like, would you consider yourself hot, cold, or lukewarm?
First,
it depends on what
good question. Could you define, let's get clarity to this. Mm-hmm. What will we define as a lukewarm Christian?
You do both. Like, I'm... Like, yeah, I agree with that scripture, but I also agree with culture. And I'm going to do both. I'm going to do what God tells me I should do sometimes, but then I'm going to do what I want to do, the culture wants me to do. You could see me in the mix of both.
So is that not every human being?
So this is my question. Is it based on your belief? Like, if you strongly believe in God, mm-hmm. but you fall short, mm-hmm. are you lukewarm? Or is it, I don't really, my belief is not strong? Because mm-hmm. if somebody's belief is not very strong, but their actions, their discipline, they own it, they is that person lukewarm? Yeah. Like, so what is it, a belief issue or action issue?
So I believe it's a mixture of both. If I believe a stove is hot, my actions will follow. If I believe a stove is hot, my actions will follow. I can't say I believe it's hot, but I'm still touching it. Mm. So I think there's a marriage between belief and action. When it comes to the lukewarm conversation, so it's almost like 50 shades, Christian shades of gray.
Right.
It's like
it's a spectrum.
Don't put me white. Don't put me black. We love gray contrast. So for me, from a biblical definition of lukewarm, is those that really don't follow the teachings of Christ, but claim him at the same time. Mm. It's like me saying I'm a married man, but living single. That's lukewarm. I say, I love Tanisha. I'm wearing this ring right now. We're celebrating 12 years of marriage in July. But if you look at the way I live, you would not know I'm married. Lukewarm.
Okay.
Even if your heart, so.
It don't matter, bro. If I say I love Tanisha with my whole heart, and I'm claiming her and I'm talking how much I love her, but you see me doing things with multiple women.
Yeah.
I'm not living as though I'm married.
Got it.
But where is there any room for a mistake or error?
You answer that. So let's, you're married and you know, you're like, yeah, this is my wife and she's out clubbing doing her thing. And she says, is there any room for mistake? I'm just having good time here.
No, first of all, let's go to single. Because I think most Christians single. Let's talk about the single Christians.
Yeah.
Because if you're out here having sex, mm-hmm. aren't you automatically lukewarm?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible clearly says that we should flee sexual morality.
So all you sexual active Christians are lukewarm. We got it on wax right here.
Ryan's like, yeah, you lukewarm.
This is my thing. Because I'm like, what makes me, somebody say that? Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I would imagine people always have their opinions. But I'm like, what do I need to do? Do I need more Bible reps? You know what I'm saying? Do I need to go to church more often? Like, do I need to start quoting scripture? Do I need to pray more? Like, what's going to get me out of this being identified as a lukewarm Christian? And then when I thought about it, I'm like, yo, isn't everybody that is in pursuit of living a righteous life, doesn't everybody make mistakes? Doesn't everybody take some time at being lukewarm? You might be lukewarm for an hour. You might be lukewarm for a few months. You might be lukewarm for an entire season of your life and then have another stretch of doing things the right way. So I was just such a judgmental thing for someone who has been communicating they are growing on their path to becoming a better person.
Yeah, I don't know like the layers of your life at all. That's why I asked, like, would you consider yourself that? Offendedness for me, like, I think I'm one of the hardest people in the world to offend because I always consider the source first, and then I always consider is it true second. So if it's somebody you don't know me, you don't know how I live. If they knew me, give me a call. You can't call me because you don't know me. Then secondly, I ask myself, is it true? And that's why, I'm not saying this for you, but that's why it bothers me. But I think the difference between mistakes and lukewarm is the lukewarm are living in a lifestyle of gray. They're living in a lifestyle, which is why Jesus is like, yo, I'd rather you hot or I'd rather you cold. It's basically saying, yo, be married to me or not.
That makes sense.
But don't rock me, but live single. So I think that's probably the easiest way, because the same way we would be upset about things if we had a wife and she were to do certain things and she's like, yeah, I love you, but I'm just doing my thing right now. I'm just having an hour.
Right.
I'm just having a season.
Yeah.
It would bother the mess out of us. And yet alone, we don't want to die in the lukewarm phase, because you know how much money you have in your bank. You don't know how much time you have on your clock.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand that. I like that.
The reality of it is, I think it's much easier to identify when we talk marriage and then we talk what it looks like to be righteous and single.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Yeah. We talked about it, right? The safe sins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you really righteous if you using your roles 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week?
Right.
And don't nobody know?
Yeah.
Are you really righteous if your entire timeline is absolutely toxic with shade room, gossip, and everything else, that's primarily what you feed yourself. Mm. are you really righteous if you got that little, it's only one dude that is, I guess, your more recent body count right now, but he's toxic as hell and he's sliding through at 2 a.m. maybe once or two times a week, but it ain't nobody else.
And that's why I brought that up, because it's the singles conversation I'm having. Because to me, that just that represented so many other, such a large group of people.
Yeah.
To have this mindset that because I think I've reached this level of spirituality or Christianhood, that I can now deem people who I, you know, who I meet to potentially date, to now say, hey, you know what? You're not spiritually qualified. But at the same time, you could be presenting yourself in one way, but you at home, like you said, using the rose every night.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's a certain level of judgment that a lot of singles have in the dating marketplace. Like, you want this man that she described to encompass all of these things.
Yeah.
But are you really looking at how you're living your life?
Yeah.
And why you might not have attracted a man like that?
So I think there are two things. First thing is Pharisaism, that like what you describe as Pharisaism. It's like, we do this and we do that and we do, but the Pharisees weren't living none of that. That's why Jesus called them out on it.
Right.
And they wanted them killed and got them killed for it. But there's another, like when you really are spiritually mature for real, you don't do that. Like, I'll know, like, they just need to grow. But I'll never, like, you know, you are Luke. There's areas of growth. Like, being a pastor, I always focus on hearing the backstage, not just going off the opening act. Like, you got here due to what happened backstage. That action led, there were a series of events that led up to that action. That's a level of spiritual maturity. So, like, when we see Jesus with the woman at the well, he hits her with, like, go get your husband. She's like, I don't have no husband. You right. You've had five husbands, and the dude you're living with now is not your husband. You telling the truth. What is he doing? He's dealing with, like, there is a cause. There's a tumor here. You're thirsty, but not for water. You're not thirsty for water. You're here at the well, but your thirst is men. That's your symptom. You see what I'm saying? So real faith, I believe, always deals with the root of it. So you're not going to, like, you do this and you do that, you do this. At the end of the day, if all of us were to have our behind the scenes, you know, on retina display, all of us would be ashamed.
Right.
Period. The goal is, I strive each and every day to have godliness before me. And the single phase, I think it's perfection versus construction. I think that's what's really hurting, especially millennials and Gen Z, is we're looking at perfection and finished products versus works in progress.
I agree with that.
You're going to need a lot of grace. No matter, you can have exactly who God wants for you, and you're still going to need grace. You need to be a good forgiver. If you are a bad forgiver, marriage is going to be hard for you. If you keep records of wrong, marriage is going to be hard for you. If you can know the dirt about somebody, one of the hardest parts of marriage, I think, is they know all of your flaws, and they're correcting you right now. You know all of theirs, but you're wrong and they're right. I know everything toxic about you, Ryan, and you know everything toxic about me. And I'm calling you out right now. And I can't say, girl, but you did this. You're right, babe. You know how much maturity that takes? And some people divorce because they rather change partners than change themselves.
Wow. What about, because you got me thinking now, bearing fruit, right? Thinking about bearing fruit. Is a long-term mate and kid, so a legacy, a family.
Yeah.
That is that fruit of living God's will,
like kids and family. No, we could have that.
Okay,
no, we could have that. Fruit is basically gentleness, self-control, patience, you know, godliness. Those are like the fruit to go off of. Now, as a kingdom man, my household, my offspring, I view as godly offspring, and that's something that Malachi. What does one thing God desires? He desires godly offspring. So Tanisha, myself, Jared III, Melody, Josiah. Since they have godly parents, a godly home, then they could have godly, now we have godly children, which hopefully could create a godly community, which hopefully can create a godly city, which hopefully can create a godly state. You see what I'm saying?
Got you.
So if we had godly parents come together and that was a goal, then it would foster a godly nation. But that's not our reality here. So for me, I know my pick for Tanisha, I was considering my purpose. I knew I was going to be a pastor. So every other woman, as fine as she was, I would consider Could she be a pastor's wife? Does she like serving? Is she patient? Because we're going to have to deal with people. And so knowing your purpose really helps you identify distractions with ease.
You help me out with that one, because it sounds like, and you let me know if this is right, fruit is these blessed states versus physical things or end results. Mm-hmm.
Fruit is the result of your roots.
Okay.
If the apple tree is not rooted, you don't get any apples. So rather it's rooted in love, rooted in faith, rooted in Christ. That fruit is going to show because we're rooted in that.
And the fruits you're speaking of, I've noticed, are these intangible? Are they all intangible?
What do you mean?
Like the fruits are not, these are not like tangible things that we see, nice cars, money.
Yeah, if I wanted to say, hey, look at my, if I said, hey, I have bare fruit, look at this. What is this?
Right. So I would say like cars, tangibles, those are accessories.
Okay.
That's just accessories. They burn, they corrode, they fade.
Okay.
Fruit lasts. That's your character. That's who you are. So like, and that's a whole, now the whole conversation can shift, because now we have a culture that doesn't consider attachments but goes off of accessories. Like, yeah, they got six figures. Yeah, they got a six pack. Yeah, they got cars and notoriety, but they're attached to trauma. They're attached to a storm. We see that with Jonah. He was a godly man, but attached to a storm. So everybody who was on board with him were getting wet because of Jonah. If we go off his accessories, well, he's coming to pay, he paid a fare. That's his accessories. He had money to pay for that. If we go on attachments, we getting wet from a storm that's not ours. So I think that's the difference. Fruit, you could glean from. Attachments, you're going to get affected by. Accessories are things that they just got due to what their gifts, talents, or whatever.
So when we, so when you're telling a man, myself, mm-hmm. that if I want to look at a woman's fruit, yeah. More specifically, what am I identifying in her to see what kind of fruit a good woman needs to have?
It's going to take time, brother. It's going to take time to, how does she respond when she's angry? When y'all disagree, does she start name calling? That's a fruit of a lack of self-control. So that takes time for you to see fruit. Fruit is not something that you just, you know, most of the time we go off of the accessory. She fine, man, look at her. Ooh, she thick. That's accessories, bro. That's going to fade with gravity and time and birthdays.
Gravity and birthdays.
that's going to change. But fruit is constant. That apple tree been producing apples since 1970. That's what you want, the consistency factor. And that takes time to observe. And so that's when we have singles night, that's one thing that I would encourage. Like, go off of fruit. And it takes time. Go off of fruit. You may have met this brother in spring. You don't know how he's going to look in winter.
Yeah, that really requires some due diligence.
Get to know each other. You want to see them angry? That's a big thing. You want to see them angry. You want to see how they are when they don't get their way. And you want to see how they are when y'all disagree. The foundation of a relationship is always revealed when y'all disagree. Always.
So the level of commitment, well, the level of work commitment you're speaking about, I mean, I would imagine to most it would seem great, right? Especially because it's very challenging to find connection.
Yeah.
So when a man or woman is looking for you know, this connection, this long-term connection, how long are they supposed to attack it? Is this could it be possible I would literally have to go 30 years potentially being abstinent trying to find me a wife?
First, I think God knows what you can handle. You can't handle 30 years, Ryan.
Oh, I know me. Need person. Yeah, so,
no. He'll be lukewarm.
Right.
He knows. So I think he knows what you can handle. But the sweet spot really, man, is purpose and assignment. Like when you really know what you're assigned to do, then you guys are going to complement when you're together. Mm-hmm. So I've known couples that have been, you know, dated 7-8 years and divorced after 3. And then I know couples like my parents that married after 2 months, and they'll be celebrating, 40 years in November?
Wow.
So it's one of those, when it's purpose, man, I don't really think, that's why we can't compare ourselves to anybody, because everybody's story is different. You know, you try to go through the Red Sea on dry ground because you saw Moses do it. Well, Pharaoh, God didn't tell you to do that. You drowned. So you can't really look at anybody. 2-3 years. How much time does it take you to observe fruit? It all depends on how hard y'all study and how much you commune with one another. You got to study.
I like that because that's simple. And I think that gives you focus. So mm-hmm. if you tell men and women, hey, you know what? Don't focus on trying to find you a person, but focus on, you know, purpose and where what you should be working on and moving toward. I think it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But it also could make it a bit treacherous possibly for the woman because she could be so invested in purpose that she doesn't have her head up to potentially evaluate opportunity when it comes to intimate relationships. So how does a woman specifically navigate not focusing on getting the man, but still landing the man?
So, man, there's so many layers to it. So I'm going to use my story then practically. Tanisha had, no, she had three jobs. Yeah, when we met, she had three jobs, was on a praise team, was over a small group, was at church two or three times a week. I had to, like, she didn't slow down for me. I had to call consistently, and we had to make time, but she never slowed down. Like, she never was like, I'm sorry, like, I go hang out with Jerry for a while. No, she still did her thing, and I respected it. Because remember, I knew I was going to be a pastor. So what I'm thinking is, oh, she's used to serving. You see? So it's almost as if, like, once you're really into purpose, once you're really into your assignment, I almost believe y'all would collide. Mm. Now what needs to be taught is how to be friends. That's what's not taught enough, how to be friends. It's considered a bad thing to be friend-zoned.
Mm-hmm.
No greater love than he who lays down his life for a friend. You know how many married couples we deal with that aren't friends? They're business partners. Share bodies, money, last name, that's it. But they're not friends. And so once you discover that purpose, nothing is wrong with building friendship. Friendship, not future husband, future wife. Friendship to see, could this lead to that?
So obviously, I mean, I think some of those married couples would have probably thought they was friends.
So
they would admit they never were friends?
Most of the times is history. Somebody hooked us up or we were sexually compatible.
First
y'all know how to make each other feel good. So we got married off a sexual experience versus a purposeful union.
Wow.
It's two totally different things.
First of all, I know a lot. First of all, you know how many women if the D ain't good, I ain't marrying them.
That just blows my mind. It's just no sex that I could imagine possibly experiencing that would tie me. Well, you know what? No, it may not tie me to a long-term relationship, but you still
a too long relationship.
Too long relationship. Yeah, yeah. So I understand. Yeah. Let me not judge. Because now I do understand what you mean.
Seriously, man, love changes everything, bro.
Wow.
Love really does change everything, and love is dying to self regularly. The way that I died to myself, 2012 can't compare to how much I died in 2024. We have a one-year-old now. We have three children. So I'm dying at a higher level. Than, matter of fact, if I was single, again, like if the married version could go back to the unmarried version and tell Jerry, hey, what should you do more in this season? I would say, fast, bro. Get used to not having your way. Mm. Get used to telling your flesh no. Because when you have children, you're going to have to say no to how you feel a lot. When you wash feet for a living, you're going to have to say no to clapping back a lot. Learn how to not always get your way and be okay with that.
Mm.
Because that's truly, love is going to be in a place where you're not going to get your way. Now, the quality of it is your spouse is the same way too. So if I'm dying and she's living, that's a terrible marriage. But if I'm dying and she's dying, now we're both living. We're making the marriage live. Most people focus on a wedding, not the marriage. Mm. Anybody can get married. Anybody can have a wedding. To stay married and to have joy in it, not happiness. Because happiness comes from the word happenings. So this means your state of happiness is based on what happens to you. That means your life is on a seesaw of what happens that day. No, not happiness, joy. It's a state.
How do I know that I have, and this might be a strange question, but I think you'll probably give us some clarity. How do I know I have a friendship with a woman?
So the basic thing is just the sacrifice part, like the willing to be inconvenienced for your benefit. You are willing to be inconvenienced for her. She's willing to be inconvenienced for you. And y'all legitimately want to see each other win.
Now, honestly, first of all, that's honestly, that's it. Because yeah, that's the same rules even for my, like my, brothers.
Yeah.
Because I was just actually talking to somebody about this. Yeah. This is somebody who struggles with asking their friends for things that they need, asking for favors, but their friends always calling them for things. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, if that person has not proven that they'll sacrifice anything for you, they're not even tested to be called a friend.
Negative.
Because literally, you just haven't even tapped in to see if it's anything there for you.
Yeah.
If they're willing to sacrifice
or
do something for you.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing I would say. Like, the dopest thing about having a marriage is knowing that at any given time, it does not matter whether you're sick.
Yeah.
Whether you down, whether this, somebody literally is going to be there, willing to sacrifice and be there for you at all points
and
times.
Yeah, and I don't think people listen to that part when I'm doing the vows, for better or for worse, for sickness and in health. I think we really believe for better or for better.
Right.
Like, for real, the way you, it's for better, not better for worse, it's for better or for better. Because when you really had that mindset, like, man, it's lifelong sacrifice. And I'm willing to be inconvenienced for Tanisha. And she's willing to be inconvenienced for me. And I would get offended if she called on any other dude to be inconvenienced for her. And she would get offended if I called on any other woman to be inconvenienced for me. That's like, that's that love and that chemistry that you have. Like, man, I'm willing to be inconvenienced for her.
Do you find that? So just that mentality, right? To me, hearing it from you, it seemed like it would be a tall task for most people, because most people aren't even coming up in homes where they have that relationship or have experienced that, you know, on the come up. Like, as they're growing and developing, they haven't had somebody to kind of ride for them like that.
Yeah.
So do you find, like, you know, whether it's the couples you counsel or just the singles that you minister, do you find that most of them are even ready to make that sacrificial step with somebody?
That has to be
anybody.
That has to be taught. Because even what I'm saying now, I didn't know in 2012. I didn't know in 2013. It was the failures of 2012, the failures of 2013, the struggles of 2014, the struggles of 2015. How could this get a little better? Die more. Okay? I'm dying. She's dying. 2016 is better. 2017 is rocky. 2018 is better. You know what to work. You know what works now. Die to you. Die. Because here's the thing I learned about husbandhood, bro. It's not about demanding. It's about modeling it. That's the game changer. You talking about a cheat code? I just gave you one.
Again. Say it again.
It's not about demanding it. It's modeling it. That's the cheat code. Whatever you want in your home, model it. Model it. And not just the rules, standards, the love, the mercy, the grace, the meekness, the gentleness, the kindness, the cleanliness. Model it. And it's hard. That's why you got a lifetime to do it.
Wow.
That's why you got a lifetime.
Let me tell you something. I got like 1,000 more questions for you. So
let's go.
So the modeling is heavy though. We probably got to stay on that real
quick.
Let's
do that.
Because that's extremely important. How do you find, you say it's not about demanding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about modeling. Do you find that most men in their homes demand first before they model?
Absolutely.
What does that look? So when you talk about modeling it, how gradual does your home change? Does the people around you change when it comes to modeling whatever we want to see in our home?
So it goes back to what you said. You said the homes you come from, you didn't have a model home. So what do? You take the template from that home and you bring it to every relationship. And that's usually what destroys the home, because since you didn't have a model home, you caught a template. Regardless if y'all like it or not, there's a template that y'all caught. And marriage will expose your template. You may not even know the ones y'all have.
Man,
I'm serious. Whenever y'all say I do, it's going to expose your template. The model home comes from you having a model. You can't model something if you're not having somebody model it to you. So for me, the Lord is the model. So when I see stuff like people call him Beelzebub, I'm thinking, boy, if I was the Lord, I would clap back. Sonic boom, you can't breathe for a second. I wouldn't have made it. But for him to be gracious and be like, I'm not Beelzebub. No kingdom divided amongst itself can stand. He explained. And then there were times when people said, he's a liar. We saw him do this. Jesus gave no reply, so he knew when not to speak. So if I just look at his life, there were times when he spoke. There were times when he didn't speak. He washed Judas' feet too. Bro, when you allow Judas to sit at your table and you can wash his feet, you learn to love like Jesus. So he's the model. So since he's the model, then I start trying to abstract that in my home. And that takes time. That takes first me exposing, like, hey, he modeled in this. He modeled sacrifice. He modeled this. Well, give me an example. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Let me show you. And then I go home and I try it. And I fail and I try again. I fail and I try again. I fail and I try again because I have to unlearn my template. Until you recognize that you had a template and until you have a model, you can't be one. You can't be one. So I have to first, my household was unhealthy. I got to have a model to abstract my behavior from. And I'm going to fail, but I'm going to get up again. Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is since you're a man, once you get that thing consistent, everybody going to line up. They going to buck it first. They going to buck the whole house, going to buck the system first.
Yeah.
But it's the consistent. This is my house. This is how we're doing it. In love and in grace. They're going to pick it up.
Wow.
The kids will start saying, sense. Jay, you didn't put your shoes back where daddy told you. Good job, Bill. I didn't have to say nothing. Model it. But best believe, if I leave my shoe out, daddy, you left your shoe out. You right, baby. Mm-hmm. Versus, girl, I put my shoes where I want. I pay the bills. Model it. Because the same way I snap off, Jay going to do that when his sister tells him, you didn't put your shoes. Jay, shut up. Same thing, because they saw daddy pop off. So I'm like, that mindset of modeling what you want changes everything. And it's harder. But it's going to get easier as you keep on striving for consistency.
That's a great team. I think we read that Coach John Wooten talks about that. A good team is when the coach is able to hold the players accountable. A great team is when the players are able to hold each other accountable.
That's good.
That's dope. Okay. So we talked about the ladies, you know, having some, you know, issues with waiting for, you know, that significant other. Mm-hmm. And we were actually, this was a couple weeks ago, we spent some time with Will and Ezekiel from We Need to Talk podcast.
My gosh.
Yeah, super dope. And they had an in-person experience where it was a guy who, you know, really just wanted to voice his frustration. Mm-hmm. And to sum up his frustration, it was, hey, you know, I desire long-term commitment, relationship, family. But the women that I am encountering are looking for me to be ready for something I have had no instruction or guidance in. Ooh. And I am not ready.
Yeah.
Now, that was a very vulnerable moment for him to express that.
Yeah.
Now, what I typically hear from the ladies is that these guys, this was probably including me, 30, 35, 40, 50, 60,
yeah,
dragging their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So as a man, how do you know if you are genuinely, self-admittedly not ready, mm-hmm, or if you just are just dragging your feet until indefinite?
Well, I think you got to have your definition of what ready is, because ready is not perfection. Mm. If you're ready to commit, you're ready to learn, you're ready to be teachable, you're ready to sacrifice, then you are ready. I think it's the fear factor forever. The same woman, though, all of that starts to get intimidating when that has not been your normal lifestyle. So I think it's more of a faithfulness of being committed versus dragging your feet. A lot of women too, but a lot of men struggle with the idea of covenant. They don't even use that word. It sounds super spiritual. Covenant.
It sounds like you're stuck. You're covenant. It's strong. Right.
Yeah. So it's when you're ready for covenant is when you're ready to grow. You're ready to become. There is no there. All there is a ceiling to a next floor. So you're never there. It's going to constantly be another floor, another floor, another floor. Life is a continuous university. So when you get to the place like, okay, I'm ready to sacrifice and I'm ready to learn, then you're ready. But you're not, this perfection thing is what I'm trying to erase. Like, if you could hear it in my verbiage, that perfection and there, erase that. High value man, erase that. Erase that concept. That's cultural. That's not kingdom. That's not kingdom. You're never going to see high value man. You will see kingdom or godly man, but you're not going to see high value. That's a cultural mindset that's causing for a lot of people to have unrealistic expectations. Mm. We need time to grow. It's a crock pot experience, not a microwave. Maybe that's it. Maybe this on-demand Amazon Prime next day shipping express TikTok. Is messing us up. Yeah, maybe that's messing us up. Quick going viral. Maybe that's causing for us to recognize just because the world has Amazon Prime doesn't mean God is Amazon Prime with your process or your growth. Crockpot, bro. Takes time.
Honestly, man, I told Ryan that's why I'm at right now, because I already see that the single life, it's a hamster wheel. I feel
more
like
power to y'all, and bro. It's dangerous.
I feel like I've experienced all of what single life
said is dangerous.
Oh no, single life is dangerous as hell. Especially now, when like every successful dude I meet, they say the same thing. They be like, man, I wish I would have met my lady when I ain't had no money and when I didn't have no status, when I didn't have this. Because like even as you advance, now you're more cynical. Mm-hmm. Now more women are coming with their own intentions and its own, like, actually the single life actually gets more difficult.
Yeah.
You get more chances, like the lust is higher, like everything gets more actually difficult as sex becomes easier and all these things. You have more access. So the reality of it is, you know, I'm in the place now where I'm like, I told Ryan too, with me it's just 100% commitment. Because I've lived a very happy, selfish life where I've been able to kind of move and groove how I want at my own time. I like that. And the commitment is shaking. And like, look, man, I don't just interview on camera. I interview every married and man that I appreciate my whole life.
Yeah.
And a lot of married men say, to be honest, Ty, you might have that same feeling that you don't know whether it's right or wrong all the way up until that point. I want to get your perspective on that. Is a man ever fully 100% convicted up until the point of, you know, actually, you know, saying vows in front of his woman? Or is there still a level of, I'm not sure, even all the way up until that moment?
Man, so me personally is something I say at the church. You should never come to this altar unsure. Because when storms come, you're going to think you made a mistake. You want to be solid. Just think about that. If you are unsure, not certain, and something bad happens, man, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe. When you're confirmed, we're going to get through it. It's two totally different mindsets.
Yeah.
So for me, August of 2011 is when I knew Tanisha was my wife. I was going through something. And she lifted my chin up and said, listen, you are a king amongst men. I ain't never heard that before, bro. I never heard that before. This is
heavy affirmation.
Honest to God, true story. And I just started boxing at that time. And I remember this one time this dude was just jabbing me. I don't know if y'all ever boxed, but could you just imagine how irritating it is for somebody to jab you and smile?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you trying to hit them and you can't. And they just like smiling with their mouthpiece. Bro, it was ticking me off and hitting me. And when I went to the corner, my coach is like, he keeps hitting you because you're swinging and dropping your, keep your gloves tight, swing. And so I correlated, man, if I didn't have that cornerman, I would have lost. Tanisha spoke a language in my life that I never want to lose. Never want to lose. When a man recognizes like, yo, there's a language, no matter how bad life gets, I have somebody who tell me, like, yo, you got this, but this is what's wrong. I knew at that moment. I was like, yeah, she's my wife. I need that in my ear for the rest of my life. Period. And I mean business. When I got back on the plane, bro, I went straight to Zales. I'm serious, dude.
Really?
I'm serious. August, went on the plane, went to Zales, proposed in November, started premarital counseling, got married in July that next year. I knew.
Now,
ladies, affirm your man. Affirm your man.
But don't be toxic with it, though. What he said, nah, that ain't your real character. You just want to get married.
Right. And the knowing part, was it that you knew she was the one, or was it that you knew that you were ready to be committed, or is it a marriage of the two?
It was a marriage of the two. So it was, we were dating for a while. And so I was observing, I was asking questions about her, asking other dudes about her too, to just kind of get her reputation before. So I was really like interrogating around before I was totally getting, you know, to know her. Just try to get like, how does her character speak outside of her being on the phone with me? So when I saw her, she was faithful, loved the Lord, serving. And then she was open to being challenged. That was huge. That wasn't breakup. Like, she would say something, I would challenge it. And, you know, she was like, okay, I got to think about that. Then she would come back and be like, no, I thought about it. You were right. That was, for you to challenge somebody, could y'all know, you challenge somebody
right.
without them feeling attacked but considerate.
It can make or break their relationship.
Yeah. And she could challenge me.
Right.
And so being able to challenge one another and having that language and seeing the fruit that she had, it was... That was it.
You know, we was talking.
This is dope. I already know where you're going.
Yeah, because we had a whole like conversation.
It's been
about,
a series of conversation, which I still think this is open.
And because I just hear different things from different men. Like mm-hmm. because you know a lot of men they don't say I'm looking for a wife.
Yeah.
But they date a woman, she's incredible, and they get married.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
Yeah.
And then there's men who's I want a wife. Yeah. They go find a wife. They get into a marriage. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, what's the best? Is there a better or best way or a right way that that should happen? Because, you know, I mean, how should it be?
Pretty much, should you decide that you want a wife before you go out and start dating?
Well, I think the two layers to it. The first deeper layer is my purpose required a wife. You're going to be a pastor. The temptation of being a single pastor in the church. No. No. So I
First
knew.
First of all, I said that too to you. We can't, bro.
I knew.
A woman is protection.
Yeah.
It's like
we've been talking about that.
I knew that my purpose required it, so I desired it. So I think that's kind of a different, like when you know, like, hey, this is what I'm assigned to do.
Yeah.
Ty, this is what I'm supposed to do. Ryan, this is what I'm supposed to do. Then it could be like, okay, for me to fulfill this, I need a wife to fulfill it. And then two, then ask yourself, do I have the gift of self-control to where I can go to the grave being sexually pure? If that's a no, then you need a wife.
That simple.
You need a wife.
That simple.
Wow. You need a wife, but you must have that God-given purpose first, because that's what's going to help with the purity. If you don't have that God-given purpose, like I used to think like this, bro. I used to think like, man, what if I do something with this girl, she ended up getting pregnant, and then as soon as I get married, I come back and like, you got a baby from this woman, that's gonna mess everything up. So nah, I ain't gonna do that. I used to think like that. I used to really think like, how I wasn't the best at math, but I was good at adding. If I do this and this comes to that, how could that add to mess this up? And so I would just start doing some basic math and like, nah, I ain't doing that. So I think it's knowing what you're supposed to do, and does what I'm supposed to do require a wife? For me, yes.
Mm.
Then you'll know for you, yes, or for you, yes.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean,
first of all, yeah. I say yeah. this, right? A woman is the number one threat to everything we build. Mm.
A number one.
The threat? Wrong one.
The wrong
one. Oh, the woman. Wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Women just in general, like bringing, us bringing a woman in that has the wrong intention, wants to, you know, doesn't want to affirm, coming in to take, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
That's always a threat. So like having a woman that's invested in you, that has equity in the kingdom of what you build in, that's like aligned in the vision and the purpose, that truly is like really truly, it protects a man in him, in his pursuit of his purpose. Because there's no protection in singleness with women. Hmm. Because
man, y'all must have some hard stories.
No, here's the reality of the situation. When you're building and you're letting women into, like, it's like I'm letting her, if this was a castle, I'm lifting up the castle gates.
Hmm.
She's coming in. She's sleeping in my bed.
Not just her. It's her and all the other niggas that she's dealing with as well. Because you got to think about it. Like, because that's what makes it dangerous. Because you're operating in this mindset, not a long-term mindset, but just what's here right now mindset. So by default, the person that you're dealing with is probably 9 times out of 10 also operating like that. So because there's no commitment, there's no protection. So, yes, I could verbalize, hey, we only going to do this with each other, but I ain't committed to you. Gotcha. So you can go out there and be on whoever program, having sex with whoever, and you bringing in how that person operates. It could be one, it could be 10, it could be 100.
Yeah.
And you bringing that to my space. So I'm at risk for, it's more than, it's is energy, is diseases, is potential pregnancies, is wasted time. It's all of those things, and it all comes out of the lack of commitment. Because if you're not committing to a woman, it doesn't matter what you communicate, she's always going to be able to be, or she's always going to be influenced by whoever else she's dealing with, whatever their philosophies of how to operate in a relationship is. Okay. So it just makes it like, I mean, you walk.
So that's what I mean. That's what I mean when we say dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, letting somebody that's not, and that's even for a man, like bringing somebody that's not aligned with you, that's not on your level energetically, that's not focused on going where you're going.
Yeah.
They should not get a lot of you. You know, and you know, bringing somebody that in that way, letting them get too close to you is very dangerous.
Yeah.
So
it's really like sleeping with the enemy. That's really what it is. Because when you really think about it, like, you really don't trust that person. You really don't have that level of care for that person. That person, it depends on how casual the situation is, or you know, what kind of, how you're moving. But it's like, you really, I mean, you're not doing this, but you really are sleeping one eye open. You know.
Man, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think we could be our own demise outside of anybody. I think we could destroy our own castle. I think you're sleeping with the inner me, too. So I think it's both worlds. Like, you want to be careful of who you give your last name to, but you want to also be careful that I'm not giving my last name to somebody and destroying them too. You know, so there are layers to it. I know you, it's like, okay, well, women could do this. Women, we can too, if we don't know how to navigate the assignment that God's given us. Like, make it crystal clear. What are you supposed to do? Like, what is it that God put, you know, you here to do? What did God put you here to do? Then you'll be able to identify, does this person know what they're supposed to do too? Because if they know what they're supposed to do too, they're not a danger, because they're not finding purpose in you. They have purpose outside of you. So they either complement it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it all goes back to what I'm saying, purpose partners. That's what I wish would trend, purpose partners. Purpose partners, because it's easier to identify distractions if you know your purpose. And it's easier to identify who will complement your purpose if they're in it and you're in it. So the risk is not as high, because they're not trying to take anything from you, because they have something outside of you. Mm-hmm. The one that's coming to you to take something from you don't have nothing. So they're making you their purpose. Does that make sense?
That doesn't make sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
So it's like, they already have their thing outside of you. If they don't, they're going to be clingy. Super clingy, devastated. That's why certain people are so devastated from breakups, because they had no life outside of them. When you were talking about, like, that's the definition of friends that we were just talking about, living outside of yourself. So any person that's making more withdrawals than deposits, that's not a partner, that's a parasite.
Yeah.
That's what leeches do. True godly women don't leech. That's all I'm attempting to say. They're not going to leech. They're going to add to or leave.
Yeah.
True godly women don't leech.
And she got to have a purpose outside of you. Because I think the conversation is kind of setting up like, we have this. You know, we don't want you to take this. She should have something too. So even if she don't have you, she still got this. If you don't have her, you still got this. So coming together should be this. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So it makes your house home, basically. Yeah.
That's true.
Man, first of all, these questions was for me tonight. This one ain't for y'all.
Yeah. So
this was,
but I feel for
selfish
y'all.
Interview, y'all.
No, I feel, because truthfully, bro, I would not want to be single at this level of ministry. Like, I would not want to be unmarried at this level of ministry right now, because I would not know who wants the mantle versus who really loves Jerry. It would be hard. And so if that's the language you're saying, like, it's hard to differentiate between those that genuinely care, have character, versus those who just want a piece of what I'm building, I could understand that.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that I got, before, while I was in the shadows and pastures, God gave me a wife, you know, so that I don't have to ever wonder, is she loyal or not? She was before anything, you know?
She's been tested.
Yeah. We've both been tested, tried, proven, all of it.
I could only imagine. It's really levels to the game.
Yeah,
it really is, Pastor. Man, I appreciate you coming in. and truly, truly blessing us, because this is, I think this is a very important conversation.
Yeah.
For our culture, because we, most of us are single. That's just the reality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So obviously we got to help our married folks, but getting us, especially the ones that's right there on the cusp, getting them over to really understand what they need to be able to go over there and do this the right way, mm-hmm. is so important. Because one, we see, like you said, our templates are broken. We ain't really even seen it done the right way. But helping us really get over the hump of that selfishness and that selflessness that it takes to properly transition into that mindset, that lifestyle, is so important. Because I find myself with guys just around my age, my status, I'm having the exact same conversations.
Yeah.
That we just, like, they needed to be sitting right here at this table with us.
Right.
You're talking about brothers that have been dating a woman for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Still really don't know what to do. They concerned about this. They concerned about that. Yeah. Or they just in this cycle of just, you know, kind of like that hamster wheel of dating women because they've gotten this and they've gotten that. But they know they need a woman. And internally, and they really want
internally one. Hurt. You know, because we have a lot of men that will tell us, like, hey, like, I'm tired of doing this. Like, I'm tired of hurting women. I'm tired of putting myself in compromising positions. I'm tired of saying yes to things I know I should be saying no to. Mm-hmm. And they're really looking for this kind of instruction daily, hourly.
Yeah.
I mean, covenant makes you better for war. Like, I think, like, just put your fist up. So, like, this, when you're not committed, anything break y'all, bro. Just anything. But now if we're solid covenant, that's what brothers don't get. Mm. This is what covenant's like, bro. This is what covenant's like. And so it's not committing is constantly keeping it to where you can be broken. Mm. Stuff does hit harder. It's that covenant word, or it's that commitment. But people who are on the cusp, like you said, I just pray that you're willing to die to yourself. Because if you're not, marriage is going to be terrible.
Ooh. On that note.
Period.
On that note, Pastor Flowers, can you please give us a prayer before you send us up out of here?
For sure.
Please.
God, thank you for just being God. You're awesome. We thank you for just seeing it fit to give us grace and to give us mercy. And we're asking, God, more importantly than anything, we want to live lives that are kingdom success. Let our definition of success be kingdom, to carry out what it is that we're supposed to do while we're here. And most importantly, I pray that you remove all distractions, anything that will keep us outside of your will. Because whenever we have to go outside of your will to get something, we're going to have to stay outside to keep what we got. We don't want that. We want to be in your will. Give us hearts as men and as women who desire your will, so that we don't have to go through unnecessary seasons and experience unnecessary pain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And there you have it, family. Thank you, Pastor Jared Flowers.
Sure. Yeah, appreciate that.
For sure. Houston.
Solid.
And kicking it with us at Harley Initiated. And we appreciate you guys for tapping in and being here with us tonight. Much love to you guys. Please, as you know, it is important that you continue to support us. And I just ask for the support this episode to look like a subscribe. All right, so go ahead and subscribe to the channel. And if you want to go ahead and have a tool to deepen your connection and have no more small talk, y'all already know we got the Harley and Love cards here for you over in
those
the
yours right there.
Description. Oh, yeah, Pastor.
Yeah. You and a wifey.
Because y'all already friends, so that's going to be easy for y'all, right?
Right. They done talked about this stuff already.
Absolutely. But, yes, guys, family, that's over here in the description. You can go ahead and get yours. And y'all already know how we do it. Harley Initiated. We are out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.